Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.
Welcome to Living the Solution with Dr. Elena George. Today we have a friend of the show, somebody I love speaking with because she is just a wealth of information. And every time she comes on, I think that, you know, we've reached the end point of things that are going on in our school system, and I've been consistently wrong. Today we're going to speak with Miss Lynn Taylor, the Common Core Diva, and she has more information to speak with us about. And we're hearing daily about mental health issues in our society. And I don't think people pay a lot of attention to what's going on in the school system. That is a parallel universe, apparently, where mental health is being, I don't know if it's being monetized, but it's certainly being placed in high regard. And it's becoming one of the underpinnings of our education system. So Lynn, I wanted to welcome you back to the show because you just have a lot of things that parents need to know about, as usual. So I will let you get started, but I'll start by asking the first question is, what is the Youth Mental Health Corps?
Oh, thank you, Dr. Elena. And always, it's such a joy to be back with you. This particular program is one that has just been unleashed on America. Right now, it is established in Colorado and a few other states. It is getting ready, though, to be trotted out to several other states. Let me give you, I'm trying to see if I can remember exactly which article has the particular states. Oh, my apologies. But anyway, before I get to the particular states, I wanted to point out that what we're seeing happen is, as you said in the opening, that mental health is becoming the school's business when we have never, ever seen it be this much of the school's business. And I want you to know that while I do think that parents need to be as informed about their children, it needs to be between their family and a healthcare professional, not a school, because a school may or may not have the proper professionals who would be able to properly diagnose. And, you know, as many shows as we've done on this, sometimes we're seeing people who are underqualified, and that is precisely what is going to be happening with this particular youth mental health corps.
We talked, you know, it seems long time ago, but it's not that long ago. We talked about how the schools are becoming, you know, satellite locations for health delivery. And we've talked about things like contraceptives and vaccines, mm-hmm. and giving healthcare. This seems to be another log on that fire where they're becoming the go-to. I mean, what is a pediatrician supposed to do? I mean, what's their purpose when you can go and get everything from your counselor or whomever they've deemed to be the counselor in these situations?
Right. You know, that's an excellent question. And I think the point of it is to continue to weed out those who really have been trained and qualified to be helped, to replace them with government lackeys. Now, currently, the core members are going to be deployed in Colorado, Michigan, Minnesota, and Texas starting in September. And then in 2025, you're going to see several other states come around. You'll see Virginia. And I'm trying to see where the rest of the list went because I have so many papers here. I'm like, whoops, I got lost in my own notes. So I do apologize about that.
That's quite all right. Well, while you're searching for that, my question is, who trains these guys? If it's not a psychiatrist or somebody who's a trained therapist, this, every time you mention the word core, that means to me somehow the government is educating these people and then they're going to fan out. Am I correct in thinking that?
Yes, ma'am, you certainly are, because that's precisely who is going to be training these people is the government. And you've got it coming from not only the Centers for Disease Control, but you have it coming from the Department of Labor. You also have it coming from the Department of Education, as well as any other public-private partnership that they can possibly involve in this particular effort. And it's absolutely egregious how much money is going to be going on in this particular program. Let's see here. I was trying to find out if it tells me here what the states are. Okay, let's see here. All right, so far we have Colorado, Michigan, Minnesota, and Texas. Fall of 2025, California, Iowa, Maryland, New Jersey, New York, Utah, and Virginia, with overall plans to go to all 50 states and American territories.
Now, are these going to be just public schools? Are we talking magnet schools, private schools? Who's going to get indoctrinated with this?
Okay, are you ready for this?
No.
This particular movement is going after our 18 to 25-year-old students. So this is not going to get them necessarily in high school, but just as they're coming out of high school, they're partnering with community colleges, and these people will be trained in the CDC's models, as well as the Department of Labor's models, not only to go out in the community and say, oh, yes, we are going to be what Colorado is calling a near peer. We're going to come out here and tell me how we can get you connected with more government mental health services, because after all, you're too stupid to find them on your own. So we're going to point you to them. But I want you to stop and consider one thing, Dr. Elena. When you look at the current population of 18 to 25-year-olds, where did they just come from? How long have we had Common Core? We've had it since about 2008. So we have young people who were bred in this system, and now they're going to be quasi-trained to go out and be a band-aid for the community in the same system that has screwed their heads on backwards. But yet we're supposed to trust that because the government's going, oh, well, we're pumping millions and millions of dollars into this.
So this seems more like a social construct than it does a medical one. So these guys are not going to medical school. They're not doctors, right? They are not social workers. They're not really going to professional schools and then taking these jobs. It's as if they're homegrown. They've got their curriculum. They've got their mindset. And, you know, when you're a hammer, everything's a nail. So they're looking for anybody who's having a bad day, essentially. And then they're going to get, am I correct, labeled?
Yep. And, you know, we've talked about that on so many shows. What about Johnny and Susie are having a bad day at school? It doesn't mean they need some sort of mental health intervention and lots of psychotropic drugs. What it means is we need to stop for just a minute and look, is it just a bad day or is there a problem? And we certainly don't need to start this in preschool, but this is going across the board. Now, I wanted to point out one thing. I've been saying that this is partly funded, this is partly funded and led by the Department of Labor. And you're going to sit there and go, well, why in the name of all that's holy would that be? Because they're using this as an incentive to say, oh, yes, you 18 to 25-year-olds, come on. We're going to train you in ways to identify. But then we're going to sit here and show you, oh, you can get a career in mental health and behavioral health. You just have to go through this career pathway through your higher education. So again, we're seeing the system prop up the system to go put people in a system that is so corrupt and so against proper mental health and proper treatment and proper diagnosis that we're seeing our kids who've already been indoctrinated going to be unleashed on everyone else. And if that doesn't make you angry, I don't know what else on this show would, because that is one of the solutions. Get angry enough about what you're hearing to go get up off your bottom and start looking at what is going on, not just in your school, but these public-private partnerships.
They're just throughout the system, these public-private partnerships in every aspect of our society now. Now, to me, you just mentioned a group of people who this is going to affect. You mentioned community colleges. You mentioned kids out of high school. What about the four-year liberal arts colleges, you know, the top tier colleges. Are they going to also be involved?
Right. From what I've understood from the documentation that I've seen, anyone who wants to be able to go get a stipend, go make a difference, because that's how they're selling this. They're selling this as, oh, it's a win-win because you'll be able to go and help someone else. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't have help for those who need mental health, but knowing that it has been in my family and seeing what proper diagnosis and proper treatment has done, and then compare it to what I'm seeing happen with the rapid increase in the abuse of drugs in schools that don't need to be there and weren't there because people were being properly diagnosed and now we're not. And of course, now we're seeing that COVID, one more time, has been the scapegoat as to why there's such a crisis going on. There is no crisis other than the government manufactured one in this area. And then you have groups who have no business in education. For example, one of the partners for this nationwide initiative is the Schultz Family Foundation. And if you don't know who the Schultzes are, these are the same people who started Starbucks. Oh, and wow. If you go and you look at what Starbucks stands for, if you go and you look at what Starbucks has done as far as joining in with the cradle to grave career alignment and how they pay for college and how they'll pay for this and pay for that, and then you go and work for them. All right. We also have Pinterest of all sites. And why? Because they're based in Silicon Valley and this is venture capitalism for them. There are other groups as well that were not named, like AmeriCorps. Well, if you look at AmeriCorps, and this is the government entity that this is being unleashed through Dr. Elena, it is the national poster organization in our government for volunteerism. And so this is not only breeding volunteerism, this is going to absolutely infiltrate how to recruit, train, and deploy in the government's ways. Not in healthcare ways, not in ways that have been proven for decades to be help to those who need it, but what the government thinks they need.
Can really surmise that the government needs people who are not disruptors, who don't question the system, right. who will be put into positions and places in society, whether that's in labor force or, you know, the economic system, the education system, in a way that's going to prop it up. That empowers it, right? Okay.
Right. And one of the questions that I had was, well, now why in the world were the states cherry picked the way they were? Colorado is being considered as a leader in the nation, Dr. Elena, for public-private partnership student success. That's what they're labeling it. And then that's what's in the news. But what's not in the news about Colorado is that the Common Core State Standards Organization, otherwise known as ASPEN, is also involved in this. And if you go and you look at ASPEN, this is the foundation, not the city, okay? If you go and you look at ASPEN Foundation, you're going to see that it is steeped in Common Core. You're going to see that it is promoting social and emotional learning, which is part of why I'm so angry about the age group that they've chosen to do this, because they're the ones who just went through this. They're the ones who went through the social and emotional learning under Common Core manipulation. They're the ones who are now going to be sitting there telling not only your child, but you, here's how to go get hooked up with this mental health service. And here's how I can somewhat be quasi-trained to diagnose you so you can go get hooked up with medical care.
Let's take our first break, because I want people to think about that and digest that for a minute. That's a huge statement that you just made. So let's take our first break. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're speaking with Ms. Lynn Taylor. And, you know, as a disclaimer, mental health is real, right? This is a problem throughout our country. And if you have any issues it's really troubling you, you should seek professional attention. There's nothing wrong with that. That shows strength to be able to ask for help. This system that you just described doesn't, to me, equal that. So we're not talking about doctors making assessments based on, you know, a background where you can diagnose somebody and treat them. It's as if you're herding people into these categories so that you can label them and, you know, control the rest of their lives. I mean, if you think about, let's backtrack for those who are new to the show. What is social emotional learning? Because you've talked about that multiple times and it's still a little bit, you know, out there to me that people do that. But what is that exactly?
A very good explanation that would help solve a lot of people's questions on that, Dr. Elena, is social and emotional learning is a way that our educratic system has come up to change your family attitudes, values, and beliefs that you were steeped in and change them to conform to the government's idea of, okay, here's what your attitude about A, B, and C should be. Here's what your values about this should be. Here is what you believe. That is absolutely not our government's business to do that. It totally detracts from the fact of, okay, we do have people who are in school and they, like you just said, they actually need help. But when we connect them to the wrong type of help, we're not being someone who's helping save them. We're being someone who's helping enable them. That's not going to save that one who is feeling so hopeless or feeling suicidal. Those are the people that they're saying who we want to get to. But really, are they? Because if you're not trained properly, how are you going to know that what comes out of your mouth would not be the one thing that causes more harm and sets things into motion that you never would have thought would be set in motion?
I mean, the mind is such a complex organ, and the way the society is going, the what we're ingesting from media, from social networks, all of that, that is, in my opinion, it's a contributing factor to all the chaos that seems to be going on. When you have people who are literally, I mean, it sounds like they're looking to find people in a very aggressive manner. So it's not like you can have a bad day. It's like, okay, you have this symptom. It's just cookbooking pretty much. So if you feel depressed this day, then this is a problem. And then we need to somehow bring you in and service you or make you part of our whole, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let me read you just a short excerpt from the press release by the Lieutenant Governor of the state of Colorado about this particular effort that is going on. And this is quoting, okay? The new Youth Mental Health Corps is an innovative public-private collaboration that will address the growing needs of young people while creating career pathways to address the national shortage of mental health professionals. Corps members will be trained as navigators serving middle and high school students in schools and in community-based organizations. It goes on to tell you here that 1 in 3 high school students report persistent feelings of hopelessness, and approximately 122 million people live in a mental health professional shortage area, because that means that there's a shortage of more than 6,000 practitioners, according to the Department of Health and Human Services. Furthermore, according to the Colorado Health Access Survey, just over 16% of our youth ages 5 through 17 reported poor mental health in 2023. I'm going to end with this. Ensuring that we have a passionate, skilled, and robust workforce is critical to achieving the vision of a future in Colorado where everyone, including our youth, have access to equitable, high-quality behavioral health services, end quote. Well, and they're creating a pipeline for behavioral health careers.
So I love when they go equitable and high quality. When they say those two words, people need to run, basically.
Well, exactly. Exactly they do, because they don't mean what we know that they used to mean. They mean what the government has prescribed. And I'm not saying we don't need to address the fact that we do need more qualified professionals, but when we're so busy hurrying them through a pipeline and we're going to unleash them on middle schoolers when puberty is raging, this is just spells disaster to me everywhere. But if you don't understand why the Starbucks connection is a big deal, if you go on their particular website right now, their vision is this, that the American dream has been broken down and replaced by hate, division, and exclusion. And what was that American dream? According to Starbucks, it was mobility, respect, and compassion. Now, I don't know about anyone else who's listening, but when I was coming up, the American dream was you had a home of your own, you had a job and a family, and everyone was, pardon my expression, fat, dumb, and happy.
I understand that one. I totally agree with you. That's really what it was. It was about being able to have a comprehensive relationship with your family members, to make your own decisions, mm-hmm. to make decisions that basically enhance your future so you have something to give to the next generation. That's so nebulous, what they just, espouse to be the American dream. Who gets to decide that? That should be an individual pursuit, not some monolithic euphemism, which really doesn't mean very much. It just means it's kind of gray, right? So if you fall
Absolutely.
Outside of that, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but if you fall outside of that, then you're a problem. Mm-hmm. Something that needs to be solved.
Right. And this is my biggest beef with this entire setup, is that you have people who have been steeped in the system, which caused the problem in the first place. They're not going to be the ones who will solve the problems. They're just going to help you be put under more government outcomes. And we know from the shows that we've done, Dr. Elena, anytime the government in any initiative, program, or whatever uses the word outcome, that's another one you need to run from, because mm-hmm. it doesn't mean what we have been trained to hear it mean, which is that you're going to come out just fine and you're going to have a nice and happy life. What it means is that the government has decided this is how Elena will be, and this is where her future will be, and this is where she will work, and this is where she will live, or that Lynn will be, in a different location, in a different job, in a different career. It's not allowing us to be free Americans as it is under a thumb. Now, we need to understand that according to this particular partner pack that these kids are going to be, and when I say kids, I mean 18 to 25-year-olds, what they're going to be trained in is that, you have 1 in 3 high school students who are feeling hopeless, especially our girls, which means that 122 million citizens in our communities are saying that, they don't have access to mental health services. This also means that between 10 and 14 years, according to this particular training package, that those children between 10 and 14 years, there's a 62% increase in suicide, which is the second leading cause of death in children. Do you want to know, if you look at the surveys that parents were given connected to this, they were more concerned about a blasted device that was, or access to a electronic device in their kids' hands, than they were the fact of, were Johnny and Susie okay and had access to mental health services? And then you're going to have the government come in and twist that to that, parents are so concerned, yet they can't have access to mental health programs out there.
So correct me if I'm wrong. What I'm reading is what you said, is that the parents think that kids are on their devices too much. They're not engaged with each other because it's all virtual and electronic. And that's a real concern, but that's not what the government wants to pay attention to. They've kind of changed them. I love how they do these studies and they mm-hmm. create the findings to match what they want the outcome to be. People need to understand, when they talk about science, especially, and they talk about these studies, you really have to figure out and ask yourself, who's underwriting them? What's their, mm-hmm. what is their frame of reference? How do they stand to gain by whatever they conclude? And this one is, you need more government programs and more mental health care.
Exactly. And this is from the Centers for Disease Control. I'm looking at my notes right now, and this was cooked up in December of 2023. You have the CDC Foundation and then a group called the Action for Healthy Kids. Now, when they did this study, they said, okay, our goal is to improve mental behavior and academic supports for students and families. Don't lose the and families, because as we've talked about on other shows before, Dr. Elena, this is not exclusive to Johnny and Susie in public school, okay? Mm-hmm. Who was behind this particular study? The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. And then they have the audacity to put this disclaimer in. The study does not necessarily represent the views of the government, the CDC, or the Health and Human Services. So if that's the case, why in the name of all that's holy do they even do a study and then put their name on it if they're going to say, oh, well, this doesn't necessarily represent us? Because they mean to do it to you anyway.
A little plausible deniability in the meantime, right?
Right.
Who stands to gain in terms of the CDC? I understand the Department of Labor. They want a workforce that they can control and have automate, basically, to create the outcome that they want. What does the CDC stand to gain from this?
Uniformity with the United Nations.
It all comes down to the UN always, doesn't it?
Yeah, because this will marry education back into healthcare one more way. And we know to be a compliant nation, which according to the UN, our scorecard on achievability as far as the sustainable development goals, we're not doing so hot. So this is yet one more way that we can not only satisfy the UN, but we can satisfy the current administration's grab at the mental health supposed crisis that's going on in this particular nation. Now, this particular study that I'm referencing, I want you to hear the numbers. First of all, they used only public school parents, but yet this initiative is going to cover every type of education and every family in your community, okay? Mm-hmm. They did K through 12. They only used, I hope you're ready for this, they only used 1,016 parents and guardians on an online survey.
Online? Really? Just 1,000 people are supposed to be template for the entire country.
Exactly. When you have millions of people and you're only going to use less than 2,000 people. Now, the demographic shows that you had 20% of those who participated on some sort of special needs IEP or individual education plan, or 12% were on 504s, which are for the gifted and accelerated. Everybody else was somewhere in the middle. Okay. Mm-hmm. They also use the fact of, oh, this is going to divide children among race and economics. And of course, they have to have that broken down because the education level has to be the same across the board. As we have said before, there is nothing racial about this because this is going after everyone. Skin color is not in this, and that is exactly what the government means when they say race. Because if you cut us open, you look at our blood, it's the same color. If you looked at our brains, same brains. We're not different races. We're all the human race. We have different skin colors. Our economic levels are not supposed to be the same because that was not supposed to be the way that the American dream worked. You were going to have others who had a lot. You had some who had a little. You had some who were somewhere in the middle. It's called variety. It's called choice. But we can't have that anymore in a compliant society that is so hell-bent on taking everything that it can in this nation. And this is not just through the current administration. This has been going on in Republican administrations as well, because we wouldn't be where we are now had that not happened in previous administrations.
I think that's a good place to take our second break, because it's really, really need to get out of this left and right duality, this paradigm. It's all the same, and it's driving everybody into a catchment where you're right. Freedom, pursuit of your own talents and gifts, being able to be an individual is going to be stripped. So let's take our second break. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're speaking with Ms. Lynn Taylor, and you can go to her website, commoncorediva.com, to read about, you know, everything that she's written, and I'm sure interviews that she's done, because this is a huge topic and we're just scratching the surface. But I think to get an overview is really important so that people can stop being distracted. It just seems to me there's all of this chaos above what you just said, but underneath they're just pushing through and going forward. And in my opinion, damaging children, adults, family structure, and ultimately the society will suffer from this. To have people who are not engaged, not able to contribute to their fullest extent, unhappy, where's the joy in any of this? I don't hear that at all.
Well, you know, I don't either, but we need to understand that just before this new initiative was announced, Dr. Elena, that the Centers for Medicaid Services under the Department of Health and Human Services put out another press release, and the subject was opportunities for improving access to mental health and substance use disorder services via Medicaid and CHIP, which stands for Children's Health Insurance Programs. And they were targeting those who are in homeless populations. Now, here's the problem, or here's the connection. These youth corps are going to be trained to go out to the community. And we know that our homeless people are in our community. So days before a new initiative for a core program to be unleashed on the nation is trotted out, we have the CDC coming out saying, oh, yes, we want to have more access to supposedly improved services. And we're going to throw in the Children's Health Insurance Program with the Medicaid. Well, if you look at the way the funding works through the Department of Health and Human Services in connection with the Department of Labor, what is going through our schools and our communities? Medicaid and CHIP.
So, correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, the Medicaid and the CHIP programs seem to have supersede, you know, the family structure, what the, I don't know, where's the pediatrician, where's the medical, the real medical system involved with this? This seems, again, to be a parallel system where the government is taking the lead and the, you know, they're controlling the information in, the outcomes, and everybody's going to be put in on a path. Well, not everybody, but everybody with the child in this system. Okay, my question is, how do you disengage as a parent? Can you say, I don't want my child to have an assessment? I don't want them to be in this, have this navigator be involved with what I want my child to have. Can the parent have power in the system? Can they withdraw their consent?
You know, that's an excellent question. And with this being such a new program, I don't know that anyone has dared to even address, hey, what happens if I have a parent who doesn't want to have their child go through this? I'm a full advocate of, you know, hey, mom and dad, go with your child to the doctor. Go to your child, go with your child when it's at school and it's this sort of thing going on. If it's going on during school hours and you're not aware of it, have your child call you. Get down to that school. Find out what's going on, because as we've seen before with this sort of activity, you might be informed, you may not, and you certainly don't want to be the parent who's going, well, I certainly didn't want that to happen. Why didn't I know? Because the school is really tricky with their either opt-in or their opt-out forms. You have to do more than take 2 seconds to sign your name when it comes to these documents. You need to look, am I opting my child into something I don't agree with, or am I opting them out? We also need to remember that our schools are supposed to, according to all the documentation that I've seen, to be able to receive these grants and funds. They are supposed to let parents know what's going on. And a lot of schools sidestep this by putting a tiny ad in the classifieds in a paper that they know people aren't going to read, but they do that to satisfy the law, not to satisfy the parents. And you know what? We need to have the parents satisfied when it comes to their children. Because here is from the Surgeon General of the United States. This is from the press release that was put out. The U.S. Surgeon General has called for a swift and comprehensive response. Now, anytime we hear the word comprehensive when it comes to education these days under the Common Core microscope, that means it's going to encompass everything about you, not just what the problem is, but everything that's connected to you and everyone who's connected to you. So it goes on to say, it's called for a swift and comprehensive response to the youth mental health crisis. The nation's current mental health crisis has been increased because of the COVID-19 pandemic. We've had unprecedented social isolation, job loss, widespread sickness, persistent food instability, and unfathomable grief, and all have played a significant role in the increasing mental health needs. Goes on to tell you that in May of this year, the 16th, actually, AmeriCorps joined the nation to recognize Mental Health Action Day as a nationwide effort to drive society from mental health awareness to mental health action. And it goes on to tell you that for 30 years, AmeriCorps has been so concerned about the health and safety of your children. Well, if you go on my blog, commoncorediva.com, and you type in AmeriCorps, you're going to have several articles where you see their intrusion into schools. They have a national network of schools who are awarded special funding because they're known as an AmeriCorps school. We also need to understand that this national mental health awareness is not just in America. I've uncovered a document that is in the United Kingdom that was put together for the Princess of Wales to sit here and show you how businesses in England can align with communities and schools to bring about better mental health, especially for birth to 5 years old. Think about the show we did on the RX Kids, Dr. Elena, with Flint, Michigan, as the poster city for incentivizing people as far as families. Moms and babies for the first year would get X number of dollars per month for an entire year. For what? Better outcomes in the crucial first year. Do you see the pattern that's going on here? This is not about, oh, the government really cares about your mental health. It's about how can we get more business invested in how your family turns out. And this is not just in America. This is across the board and, across the world. And the reason I know that is because in that stupid report, it said it was a business report for businesses to leverage their corporate responsibility to transform the community so that we could have better conformity to the sustainable development goals and realize sustainable development goal number 3, which is good health care for all.
Yeah, you just said a mouthful. I mean, it's a grid that these puzzle pieces are really starting to click in. And, you know, there's no business that cares about your child, you know, unless it's going to become a cost center, a consumer, or a worker for them at a very low price, probably. It's just getting a labor force and keeping their business going. So has the medical system, the AMA, you know, these association of physicians or pediatricians or psychiatrists, have they said anything about this? I mean, this seems to be, they're practicing medicine without a license, essentially, from what you described.
Yeah, exactly. Right, exactly. And that would be so concerning to me as a parent of a young child. Now, I'm a parent of children, but they're all grown. But think about this. This is supposed to target our middle and high school students. And as a core member, here's what you will be trained in. Okay, first of all, it's a 1 to 2 year position in your training, Dr. Elena, with a stipend. Now, I don't know how much the stipend is, but As a core member, you will harness your passion, grow your skill, and commit to community well-being. You will help young people navigate mental health and emotional well-being and all intersecting issues. I want you to think about that for a moment. Intersecting issues. That means any political unrest, any culture unrest, anything that could cause an issue is going to be thrown in with this as well. So you can imagine where that's going. These core members will connect youth to mental health supports in their community. They will steer them toward collaboration with practitioners who have signed on, as well as earn credentials toward a behavioral health career path for school-based stackable certification. Now, school-based stackable certification goes back to a program that I first learned about in the state of Georgia, and it was called the work, I think it was the work readiness. And you had these certificate levels. A bronze level was, okay, I've gotten out of high school, I've graduated, and I've got, you know, that's it. That's your bronze level. Then your silver level is, okay, I graduated high school, I've got some college, and I've got a little bit more skill. And then your gold level is, you know, I've graduated high school, I've gone to college, or I've gotten a career. And the point of it was if you didn't have this particular work keys assessment, Dr. Elena, that all these levels were based on, you couldn't go sign up for a job. And if you didn't sign up for a job, as we've discussed on other shows, you can't feed your family. And if you can't feed your family, how are you going to pay your bills? Again, these stackable credentials are so that you can be mobile and go where the government says you need to go. That's precisely it. That's why we have the thing about, okay, here's your career path. Well, here's where the jobs are. So here's where you're going to go. Not the freedom of, oh, hey, I just graduated college or trade school. I want to go be a plumber and I'm going to move to Timbuktu. Well, if Timbuktu doesn't need a plumber, guess where you're not going?
This is the ultimate planned economy.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. On that note, let's take our last break and come back. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living the Solution. We speak with Ms. Lynn Taylor. And, you know, this planned economy has been one of the things that I remembered when we were starting to move away from more of a, the word democratic is being used in such a way now that it doesn't mean what it used to mean. But what you just described, where you use your skills and talents, you gain them in order to do what you want to do. This system is getting rid of the individual pursuit. If you don't know what it is, you'll never want to strive for it. It makes you very pliable, very controllable, and the system works really well. You know, if you don't know what good is, you can't strive for it, right? So right. I can imagine a couple of generations down the road of this, maybe not even that long, you won't have anybody doing anything outside of what the government deems you're worthy to do. That's a really dystopian view, isn't it?
Well, it is, but that's the heart behind these career paths, because look at how young they're starting the children on these career paths. It's not middle school and high school. It is absolutely not. We're starting to look at people saying, okay, Johnny and Susie are going to be A, B, C, and D as far as their work or their career in preschool. You're putting the cart before the horse. Mm-hmm. Now, we've been talking about the states who are getting ready to unleash this, specifically Colorado, for our example. But let's look at a state that's going to start this next year, and that will be Virginia. All right, $14.2 million, Dr. Elena, federal leveraging funds for the state of Virginia alone, that will seek these youth mental health core volunteers for the public-private partnership agenda and groom them for workforce development. And you've got handpicked people by the governor of Virginia, who supposedly is this fabulous Republican. And here he is cherry picking this council who's going to oversee this, because we have to build more community resilience. This is not a Democratic versus Republican issue. This absolutely is not.
And in part of what you said before made me think about the social media aspect of this. Part of the chaos that's going on is social media, trying to follow what they see on social media as if it's truth. And we know that's completely manufactured in marketing. So I understand mm-hmm. that there's some best practices that they're proposing for quote unquote healthy social media and being mm-hmm. online and safety, like that's going to happen unless you turn it off. But what are these best practices that they're trying to bring online?
Well, you know, that's interesting that you bring it up, because first of all, best practices has zero business in education, because best practices is a business related, corporation related term. It is supposed to apply to those things that work to help grow a business and those things that don't work to take away from the business. And the reason that we see best practices, which what that means is more ways to find out how to change attitudes, values, and beliefs, how to appear more equitable, how to sit here and preach that, oh, we love every student and we're going to do the best we can. No, what it means is you're going to continue to dumb down, indoctrinate, and absolutely ruin not only the children, but the family. And I want you to stop and think about a couple of things here if you're a parent and you're listening to this, because there are going to be some action steps woven into everything that we have already talked about. But the biggest question is, think about the increase in the rate of self-harm, suicide, drug use, things like that, that are not part of an intervention or mental health diagnosis or behavioral health diagnosis, okay? The reason I brought up the fact of the parents being more concerned about the device is because that's where 95% of the problem is. It's in that device. It's what's coming through that device. And so by the time you get to the supposed best practices of what goes on in that device, it's a Band-Aid on a screen door. It absolutely is not going to solve the problem, because the electronic use is not going to stop. In fact, it has to increase for this planned economy to work. But what will happen is your place in that planned economy based on your electronic activity. So the more we connect our kids, the less that we see their joy, but the more they're hooked into this planned economy. So it's a lose-lose situation either way. And that figure that I just gave you for Virginia, mm-hmm. that's going to serve almost 20,000 children, Dr. Elena. So think about a small town or a medium-sized town, the entire population, and this is what we're setting them up for.
I mean, the worst-case scenario is you've just taken the children away from family structure, place them in this system mm-hmm. where they're literally cogs in this system. And the question that has to be asked is, will it create more mental challenges for people? Because not being able to be themselves and not being able to speak freely. I mean, I can imagine social credit scores can be attached to this too, that if a child is somehow disruptive.
Right. And we need to understand, and here's another question for parents. How skewed are the numbers that your school is using, knowing that the Bible for diagnosing mental health disorders, the behavioral health disorders, has been so agenda filled that it's not even funny? It's known as the DSM. And it's on edition number 5 right now. So that's my question, another big question. How much of this would we really be having had we not been following a tainted supposed guidebook or some social workers call it their Bible? Think about that. Why are we still using such a corrupt manual when it has been so bankrupt with agenda? We're taking words like description for a stubborn person, and we've turned it into a disorder. It's defiance disorder. Are you kidding me? No, you're stubborn. Why are you stubborn? Because you're not conforming. Why are you not conforming? Well, maybe it's because you're just being belligerent. Well, that has a new name on it as well, which is aggression. Or it might be you just question what's going on. I was labeled a belligerent child. It wasn't that I was belligerent. It's I didn't understand what was going on, and I asked 5 million questions because it did not make sense to me. But if I went through that in school today, I would be so over-medicated and so over-treated for every disorder known to man.
You know, from a medical standpoint, which is interesting, these disorders, there are no blood tests for it. There's nothing that is objective
exactly
to make these diagnoses. You can just be on the bad side of somebody and then they just label you and you don't have a recourse. Mm-hmm. So this could be very malevolent, vindictive, and it can ruin people. So,
well, it's skewed.
Yeah, quite. So, you know, what are some of the solutions then? I mean, we've definitely carved out or discussed the problem, and it's a big one, but it's not in place yet, right? The grid hasn't been locked into place. So what are some of the solutions that parents can have and teachers who are interested in not, you know, being part of the system?
What I would suggest is if you live in any of the states that we've talked about, and remember, this is going to, they're using these 11 states as the guinea pigs. Colorado is the first one. We also know that there are going to be other states. Look at where it already is. Look at what's going on there. If you're in one of the other states that is not mentioned, look at the whole school, whole community, whole child model that is going on in your state, because that, where those are located, that is going to be where you find the biggest intrusion into where you will have a navigator or a near peer. I don't have that written in stone, but I can tell you from the research that I've done, that is what makes sense, because this whole school, whole community, whole child model was put in with the Every Student Succeeds Act. It was carried out under Obama. It was rubber stamped and increased through President Trump, and President Biden has also put a large amount of money into it, because every one of these presidents, Republican, Democrat, whatever, they are convinced that government is your solution. You know that government is not. So I would absolutely start looking at what is going on, what plans are being put in place now, because what happens now was based off of what happened a couple of years ago. And what will happen in 2 years will be based on what is going on right now. You've got to get informed. You have got to start talking to each other. You have got to start banding together, because as we know with the CDC, if you are not approved through them to receive Medicaid funding, you're not going to be in practice. So get with those doctors who have bucked the system. Dr. Elena is a prime example. And I know she can put you in touch with others. People who have bucked the system, people who have said, not on my watch. That's who you need to become with this program.
I think those are excellent words and excellent advice. That's a great place to stop with this call to action. It's now time to stop depending and hoping that somebody is going to take your, you know, take up the burden for you and work for you. I don't believe that that's going to happen unless we do it as individuals. In the moments that we have left, Lynn, how can people read your blogs and follow when you're doing interviews?
Okay. You can find me, commoncorediva.com. That is my website. I also have school choice info kits that are available donation-wise. I also accept donations for my time, research, speaking engagements, things like that. You'll find a tab on the website. You can follow me on Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it, at Common Core Diva. I also have a Facebook page. It's Common Core Diva 2023, because Facebook decided to take my other Facebook page down, so I just made a new one.
That's it. Just keep it rolling, and nobody's going to get in your way, which I love about you. It's you're fighting the good fight. You know, you're doing God's work, And everybody in earshot of this show should take up the call that you just put out there. It's time for us to work together. I'm done with divide and conquer. I can see it a mile away, and I'm not going to play that game. So Lynn, thank you so much for joining me. I want to welcome you back anytime you want to come.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Dr. Elena. And you know, if groups want to schedule me to speak, email me info@commoncorediva.com. And until our next broadcast, take care, be vigilant, get out there and show you give a darn.
I love it. Thank you very much. And thank you, everybody, for living in the solution.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk Events.